It's an important question, how to advertise. I would express several examples and take the personal for a moment as well. There are different resources. One rather valuable and important resource, especially at the beginning, is informing friends and family, letting them know. Emails is a good starting off point. If you use any of the social media to make good use of that, the Facebook, the Instagram, and more, and asking people as well, especially close friends, if they could put the word out for you. Years ago, we're talking decades now, there wasn't obviously the access to such resources. I would write and post my leaflets, flyers, and so forth, and also put up posters in the town, especially health food shops, bookshops, health centres, and sometimes in towns there are walls and spaces for that. There is quite often hesitancy, especially in our kind of circles, of people advertising or promoting anything. But it's not the promotion of oneself or trying to advertise oneself. It is one has something which you wish to share. In this case, we might say the general label is mindfulness. And people genuinely really do need to know. One of the valuable resources with this is the blog. And the blog, in talking with friends, and also I see with some, my own networks, the blog has become more of a focal point because it acts as a bridge between the teacher and what she or he teaches. And these days, with so much isolation, people are rather interested in the experience and the views and the story, in fact, of the teacher as well as the teaching. Websites, of course, can address a lot, accessible. If you use your own name or a name for the website. But as I say, quite often people are going to the blog. Of course, I've had my blog for years, so it's a little easier. But the numbers of people checking out the blog has risen quite a lot. Not because of COVID, it actually started about the year before. And so I can't remember precisely what the numbers are. But I think it might be maybe around 20,000 views a month. And the number of views with the websites has actually gone down a bit, so my good IT person tell me. So that's another consideration. The social media, the blog, the social media, the email, the personal contact and friends and family that you have. And then that, and the best is the development and that going the extra step. And I had actually an extremely good example with my daughter yesterday. A company, engineering company in this case, ordered, actually it was a big, very big order for Nishauna. She runs on Etsy, this online small business, what she calls a little shop of mindfulness. And basically, mindfulness instructions, which Ula and I write, along with crystals and incense to generate a kind of mindful atmosphere in the home with certain practices, etc. The company, of course, has to pay first. They misspelt the email address. The company desperately needed on Friday these 80 items as a gift to welcome back the staff from the lockdown. Very nice kind of gesture. The payment arrived on, finally, they realized they'd made a mistake. This is the point. My daughter drove with these 80 items instead of posting more than 2 hours to the engineering company, and they were incredibly grateful and incredibly appreciative of this. So I use it as a small example, the little extra mile we go, little extra effort that we make is really appreciated. It shows your commitment and energy and dedication, and that does speak volumes. Clear enough? Anything else that was touched upon? And of course, it's gone past the 5 o'clock time, so stay on, and I'm more than happy to do my duty over the next half hour, 25 minutes. So if there's any questions or texts or anything, feel free to ask. I mentioned I might just add a little bit. In the large groups that Kaspar, Ula and I took this morning, one of the supportive factors there that I made reference to was it's in community meaning contact, friendships and sharing, which really helps to enable and allow things to unfold. And in the role and function of the mindfulness teacher here, in a way, certainly in the beginning period, you're kind of queen bee, meaning people would rather look to you, and it's your kindness and presence and teaching which will be the focal point. And the regularity of the contact, like we have been doing over this past year, the regularity of the contact contributes to keeping people connected. So in other words, you as the teacher, for quite a period of time, will be the one who does the more outreach. As people benefit, they will start coming to you. As that develops, they will tell other people, and other people will come, and then slowly the network, the community of you, the sharing begins to grow. And certainly the most useful and effective way that takes place is word of mouth. It is singularly the big way of advertising. I can see with over the years, decades of this now, as a small example, people kept telling me, "Oh, Christopher, Facebook and Google and so forth, at the moment in the world of advertising, I'm not quite sure the figures, but they're consuming or around 50%. They are advertising agencies basically buying our attention. That's what Google and Facebook do. They market it as information, they market it as global community, but actually they're advertising people, buying our attention. So people said, this might save you some money here, Christopher, you should try that, because you can promote a product in a city to a specific demographic, to people who are specifically interested in what you do. Might be called mindfulness, meditation, spirituality, might be called Buddhist tradition or whatever. They've targeted down to people that you would wish to focus upon. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And a good person, Dharma friend, that's what she does. She works for small businesses and bigger ones, helping them, and in which she is the bridge for advertising through that form. So, all right. So she asked me, how much are you going to put in for this? Oh. So I said, well, we'll try it for a while, for 30 days. I'll put in £5 a day. That's around €6. For 30 days. And I'll see what the response is. And I targeted two or three specific cities, people who are interested in mindfulness and spirituality, and the varieties of criteria of psychologists, then blah blah blah. And that led to an outreach. The conclusion was, I wish I'd kept my £150. I can't say. I didn't really get much of a response out of that form, and I checked out why there, since it was also targeted, and the response was, for advertising which is paid for like that, one really has to sustain it day in, day out, week in, week out. That's paying out quite a lot of money. And businesses will spend, as we know, 10, 15, 20% or more on the advertising. Well, I'm not going to do that, and not that I've got the money to do it anyway. And it would have been more useful to actually spend the time with the various networks there. And I have an e-news, that's another outlet, and that goes out to people as well. So be mindful of your finances. And if you are engaged and making some costs which people will come, which of course is fine there. It takes a little while to develop it, because initially you have quite a lot of outgoing costs anyway. That's how it is. There's a lot of service involved in this, and generally people who are offering a service, it might take, you have to be patient with this, 1 or 2 years before you get well established. If you go to 2 or 3 years, you're home, you're fine. You've got really good mindfulness teaching program going on. The majority of people that I know, like from our network, from the previous courses, it's usually combined with another sources of income, so that person may, she, he may have a day job. There may be teaching mindfulness along with what other field of work is. And for some, there has been a gradual shift over to being mindfulness teachers, because that's what the person really wants to do. Their heart is set on it. But as I say, it's a gradual approach for most people. My one liner is that the cream of the milk, not easy in this situation, is the actual teaching itself. That it is a challenge. People will feel nervous, not sure if they're really ready. All of that goes with it. It will take time to develop confidence. Be patient. One is just beginning. Stay steady with it. Your kindness and empathy will be the sustaining factor. People understand if you're starting something that you're nervous or it's a little bit challenging to settle into the role or whatever. But be patient for something for it to develop. Yes, anyone, please.
Question in the chat.
Oh yeah, in the chat. All right, I didn't look at the chat. Okay, I'm going to go down to the chat. Thank you. All right. So one person, Andrew, has asked, says, can we find, it is the, which starts with a T, the Little Shop of Mindfulness. That's the name you'll find it under. It's important, and my daughter's a single mum with four kids, and it's a helpful support of income for her. But the website to look at, which is closer, you know, really connected here is for us, is her mindfulnesssupportservice.org. And this is an outreach of mindfulness. Ula and I are very much involved in the program for this, which gives support to women, men and kids in situations of domestic abuse and sexual abuse. And exploring mindfulness, when often women, of course, and kids have had to flee, take refuge, really need some care and support, and children as well. And there's a whole range of practices and mindfulness which really gives support to people in our community who are suffering a great deal. And that has works primarily through funding, all sorts of organizations and businesses, so it's difficult getting funding at the moment because of the lockdown and so forth. And the second is to public servants, doctors, nurses, probation officers, counselors, social services and more. And teachings and practices are offered there at the moment, again all on Zoom because there's no choice about it. So mindfulnesssupportservice.org. Do take a look. It's rather a good example of the outreach that's taking place. And of course, if you type in mindfulness and any specific area of interest, and that area of interest may be an area which you have knowledge and expertise about. So do check in, looking, what are other people doing in terms of bringing mindfulness, say mindfulness in the classroom, mindfulness in the hospital, mindfulness in the business, mindfulness in walks in nature. I'm having a meeting with a person in a week, maybe 10 days, and she has a stable, 17 horses for children, teenagers and so forth. So she and I are going meeting. She's interested to come on the next mindfulness teacher training to help facilitate that relationship between kids, teenagers and animals, horses, there, and how mindfulness in different ways could support that. So all of, many of these things can be Googled, obviously, mindfulness with an area of your interest. So let me go to the second chat. Can you share experiences teaching mindfulness outdoors? It might be a useful place to start teaching in the current situation. I'm more than happy to. And as the person writes with the question, the outdoors is just precious and important. So a very quick step back. My years as a monk and in Thailand and India, except for the monsoon and the 3 years in the Vipassana monastery, I slept outdoors. So I didn't sleep in my hut, but outdoors, and one has a special kind of mosquito net, and you hook it over a branch and hang it down, and then spread the mosquito net and slept in that, and just trusting that the scorpions and the snakes didn't feel lonely during the middle of the night. But it all worked out. I'm still here, so it obviously worked out well. And the teacher would, we would go on yatras with the teacher. Yatra means pilgrimage, and might last a few days, many days, and sometimes through hills and the jungle and the villages and teaching, blah, blah, there. And so when I came back to the West, I thought, wow, outdoors and Dharma goes together like wood and trees. It goes together. Goes together like, what else? The ocean and water, it goes together. They're made for each other. So I started leading yatras, pilgrimages, firstly in England for about 10 years or so. And this case, obviously, was residential and it was for 10 days there. And that led to 18 years of annual yatras, pilgrimages in the foothills of the Pyrenees and the Alps and so on, then to Germany, not far from Ulus when it was possible. You could organize and invite people to come to the outdoors. It could be the park. I would go to London once a month. We would have a walk in the park, in this case for peace, for ending of war. We'd circle the park, then we'd have a sit down, have a discussion, then go and have a coffee together. And that went on. I stepped back because it's a long way to go. The monthly yatra, walk in the park for non-violence, sharing together, it ran for 12 years. So I just did it for a few months, and then others took over, and it ran for 12 years. So you get people together first. It might be 4, 5, 6. It really doesn't matter with the number. That's not the important thing there. And then you have a look at what kind of day you would like, the number of hours. If you're outdoors, generally speaking, of course, if it can be in the countryside or in a large park, and you invite the people to come, and they need a, like everything else, a fairly clear a sense of what the purpose and intention is. So it's not just a few people hanging out together. You could give 5 or 10 minute talks. You give some instructions on walking. You could make it silent and single file. You could bring food, all of you, together. Good organic. Of course, if you ask me, I'm going to say plant-based diet. There, you make that a mindfulness meditation period. You have make some time for people to share their experience. So a day of some meditation, silence in the walking, sharing of experience, mindful eating, loving kindness meditation at the end for a few minutes. People have a wonderful day, really precious, and the outcome of that, it might well grow. So it just takes a good idea, as you mentioned there, outdoors, and we, that's in my networks, I've got this website called dharmayatraworldwide.org, and we have these residential pilgrimages. They're going on in 11 or 12 countries, different teachers leading them, and so it might evolve to that, like it did with me. Just start with a day or a half day, like 10 till 4, and you might make it a bit longer, and then people might say, how about Saturday and Sunday? And if you've got the time, yes. And then they say, how about we go in the countryside and we stay overnight, camp out? Yes, weekend. Hey, how about a week? And you say yes. So in 2 or 3 days, it's another website to have a look at, Henrietta. She, not maybe using the word, but offering exactly what the good person is asking about outdoors, and her website is Wandering Wild. I'm pretty sure it's .org, Wandering Wild. Her name is Henrietta. She's coming around my house on Monday or Tuesday, and she takes a small group, absolute maximum of 7 people. She won't take any more, just 7 people max, and they spend 3 days on Dartmoor. It's a kind of really lovely wide open space 10 miles away from here. Most of the people that come are people working in the city. They need a real break. They arrive Friday lunchtime, and then they go in the car, in the taxi actually, sort of vehicle, to the moor. Henrietta provides all their basic needs. That means the tent and everything is there. And it's walking single file in silence. It's sharing mindfulness moments. And dear old England, of course, it's in the hands of the gods with the weather. And they are told that if you're interested in teaching outdoors, as always, the general principle is starting small and developing. And take a look at what Henrietta is doing. And her primary advertising, quote unquote, she tried the different media. She just uses Instagram. And what she specializes in, she's got her iPhone, and she just takes photographs of Dartmoor, dawn and dusk and blue skies and grey skies and this wonderful nature. You have a look, and that is the magnet. It's the pictures, and people say, gosh, I want to experience that. I can't remember what the charge is. She makes maybe 18, 90 pounds or euros per day for the three days, and everything is included there, and it works well. And the Guardian did a two-page article with photographs. Woof, this newspaper. She really got a great response. People really, from that. So, small, developing people here, a journalist heard, and now one of the major fashion magazines wants to do an article. So, but she, you know, she's gone through nail-biting times. She's gone to my, you know, when nobody was booking, or only, what does she do when only one or two people book? And she likes to do one a month between April and late September. One group per month. So expanding a bit more, and she does jewellery in other periods of the year to pay her rent in the community that she lives in nearby. So just a reminder again, it really is worthwhile listening and catching what other people are doing, and the blessings with the media these days, one can learn a lot. But she's, and my daughter too, the Instagram is the one that gets the most attention. That's what they tell me. Right, anything else? Thank you. So Ben has kindly put it up. www.wanderingwild.co.uk And she's from Denmark. I live in a road called Dennis Road, but the origin of it is Danish. Ended up as Danish, but it's Danish originally. So she comes round to Danish Road for a glass of red and some black chocolate from time to time. And she runs an allotment. She's really quite something. So, but have a look, you'll see.
Is there time for another question?
Please do, yes.
Because I was wondering if you do outside, outdoors, if you do walking, meditation or mindfulness in walking and then eating. And if you do that with beginners.
Yes.
It's not something that they are so used to. It's a bit more of an advanced thing. I guess what you said, it really needs a good introduction or preparation somehow. Do you have any suggestions?
Yes. So, couple things. One is to look at the Dharma Yatra worldwide website, which Ulla and I put together. Is bucket loads of information. In August, if the pandemic gods permit, we will have in Germany, near Stuttgart, near where Ulla lives in fact, a 10-day Yatra there, and it's completely open to everybody. Total beginners to years of experience. It's also open to children there. And we have a day of there's walking, sharing. People take turns with all the cooking and organizing things and more beside. So it started years ago with the small numbers, because that's how it started. As these things do, and the last one we gave in France, there was 150 people on it, and we could have had a lot more than that. We had to, the farmers, who are our pillars of support. You know, they 150 but they were still very kind, and we didn't have to pay for any camping site. We everything was done on the minimal there, so it's quite surprising, really, that people who have no experience are curious about it, these things there, and look at the information, see that there's a wealth of experience with the pilgrimages there, and join. And they know with us, they're not going to get flowers, candles, incense, and Buddhism, not our style. They'll probably learn about, they certainly will learn about mindfulness and meditation, and certainly feel close to the nature, clearly. And we give teachings about we are human nature, along with the nature around. And the outcome of that is sometimes when a person who has some experience, like yourself and others, say, let's have done a 10-day yatra, think, hey, now I can see the forms, and they kind of learning, like I did. I did on yatras as a monk. We went walking. We lived simply. Aha! Wow! And then people find ways to adapt it in the way that they think will work for them and other people. Much of it is listening and learning and experiencing, and then drawing from that, you take it in the direction that you would like it to go in. You know, if I had my way, kids would be out of the classroom half the time. You know, if I had the privilege of being a dictator, I would love to be a dictator, but it's just not going to happen, is it? So, and to get kids really learning about the outside and really learning about life, taking them to the prisons, taking them to the homes of the elderly, taking them to the hospitals, taking them to the businesses, taking them into government, and really having a proper education about life and learning about gardening and maintenance, real education, not this narrow one at the moment. We need a revolution in the classroom. Apologies to you teachers who are listening to this, but you know, I'm sure plenty of us would agree it's too much pressure on our beautiful children. Too competitive. It's not fair on them. It's just not fair on them, what we're doing to them. So we need some fresh things to come in. And the teachers are going to have to take some risk if they're going to start a revolution. Or encourage the children to start one. And yeah. Yes, anyone else, please? Oh, I've gone beyond my period of duty. I'm now up to 40 minutes. Well, let me have a look at anything. No, I think it's all looking good. All right. So, enough. So, thank you very, very much, everybody. Let's have the usual quiet minute together. Big thank you to Casper for kindly stepping in and being available and present as well. But let's have the quiet minute. May all beings have the opportunity to share with others. May all beings make accessible our skills, our knowledge. May all beings find the wisdom of the networks, of the cooperatives, of the engagement and the interaction that we can explore together. Thank you very, very much. And I make a promise to be punctual for the next meeting. Okay, lots of love to you all. Thank you. Thank you, Casper. Thank you. <clears throat>